You're listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 50.
Something kind of vertigo going on here. I've been seeing pebbles in my dreams. I've been laying scalped out here for hours in this swamp in New Orleans. I've been reading spells from books of magic, trying just to help less trails to you. Feeling like a loser, so, so tragic. Feeling like I'm left to preach at food. All the time spent moving, oh so slow. It's something kind of vertigo.
You're listening to V for Vertigo, 30 minutes of comic talk, episode 50. Nah, I mean, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark Bookmaster Flex, volume 50 Johnson, and this week's review will be about Air Flying Machine by G. Willow Wilson and M.K. Parker. And hello, everybody. I hope you didn't mind that wacky intro, shall we say. I downloaded some old CD I had, and it was Funkmaster Flex Volume 2. Nah, I mean, it's not bad. I really like the freestyles, but Jesus Christ, does that get annoying where he's like, nah, I mean, I don't even, how do you spell that? Nah, I mean, it's not, it's like, you know what I mean, but all mooshed up. It's very weird. Anyways, you know what's interesting? A friend of mine, I saw at a tournament, which I got second in, which sucked. Nothing worse than getting second, by the way. He told me that when he listened, if you're listening again, dude, my bad. He said I had a radio voice. Like, hello, you're listening to The Quiet Storm on KBLX 103.5, where something, something, I can't think of a slogan right now. And I was like, really? But then he's like, yeah, until you go on all your rants, then it's like, oh my God. Like, I wonder how I sound in real life. It's weird. Oh, to be fair, he only really sees me at card tournaments, so, you know, take that for what it's worth when I'm dead tired off the 4 hours sleep, if I'm lucky and got 4 hours sleep. So, nah, I mean, I'm sorry if this sounds a bit weird, but I still don't know what's up with my mic, my settings. I had it perfectly, but now things are back to normal, and I have to lean close. I'm probably going to knock the mic over, and none of you really care. Anyways, before I get started, there's really nothing special planned, so in case you were wondering, yeah, there's nothing. There's no, I'll kill for some cake. Especially a slice of banana cream pie right about now. I love that shit. Yeah, but, you know, call now. If you're the first caller, you will get some free comics and money. I don't know what number you'll call, but, you know, whatever. Oh, earlier today I was watching the NBA All-Star. Man, I love it and consider it the best of all the sports, their All-Star break. Today's was a stinker. It's bad enough Stephen Curry didn't even win. It's disappointing. Paul Pierce actually won a three-point. Actually, the three-point contest and the challenge, it wasn't that bad. It was pretty good. You know what sucked, though? Horse sucked. I don't know why they have it. It's not interesting whatsoever. They had to end up just shooting threes to see who would win. And, of course, Durant won. I surprised Rondo, actually. Apparently, he has an outside shot. Who knew? And but the big stinker, because horse sucked last year, it's like, could it get any worse? In case you're wondering again. The big stinker was slam dunk contest. Look, just because you can dunk on a fool in a game, Shannon Brown, Wallace, other guy I never heard of before, doesn't mean you should be in the dunk contest. I mean, Nate Robinson won, and as much as I was sick of him, at least he did some, or he tried to do some interesting stuff. It's just, he realized, like, if he couldn't get it within the first two, three tries, stop doing it, because he got hella shit for taking 50 tries that 1 year. And he shouldn't even have won. I think AI, the other AI, should have won. Because that was one of the illest moves, where he bounced it off the back of the backboard, dunked underneath it, and then dunked it. I like damn. But this year's sucks so much. So hopefully tomorrow's game will be better, but I doubt it. I don't care. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. I may have a date, but I might, and I'm not sure if it's a date. And I tried calling her today, but I didn't hear back from her. And I left a message, something I don't do. So we'll see. She's cool, but I think she's hung up on the age thing, just because she's 10 years older than me. Come on. Oh, whatever. Nah, I mean. Yeah, that can be quite fun to say. Just there, that's sporadically. You know what I mean? I'm gonna be doing that for the next half hour. There's not really any news this week. I mean, if you want to see, there's a plethora of cover galleries and various other shit. Who gives a crap about that? Although it did serve to remind me that iZombie is coming out this year. So let's just get to it, people. Know what I mean?
And now it's time for the rundown.
Now, Air, Flying Machine, by the fabulous G. Willow Wilson and the secretive M.K. Perker. I'm just making that up. This is book 2 of the series. Trade 3 will be out. I don't know. I think it's solicited in previews. So 3-4 months from now. Whatever. Whatever. So, the little summary is, after Amelia saved Blythe, she tells her story. Sorry, Microsoft Word decided to put that in red, because apparently I repeated myself. Amelia was a HyperPrax pilot, and she was testing out a HyperPrax plane. Oh, it's going to be a tongue-tying episode. When they were attacked by the Japanese. Now, she literally ended up in the middle of nowhere. And when she came out, years has passed. Now, Blythe has the ability to be a HyperPrax pilot. Which, I'm not entirely sure of what it is. I think it's where you can control time and space to a certain point. Or at least that's what I think it is. Or you move things with your mind. I honestly have no idea what a HyperPrax pilot is. That's okay, because it's not real. Or is it real? Now, Amelia tries to teach Blythe to fly the craft they're in. And Blythe's doing well until she panics and ends up in a 10-year-old Zayn's body? I don't remember how to pronounce the romantic interest. And Blythe relives Zayn's life. Eventually, she's able to come out of it in his 20 years later. No, I guess 20 years later, I think. And helps them find the device they're looking for. Amelia entrusts it in Blythe's hand instead of giving it to the dude. Now, she wants to go back to her old life, but realizes she can't. And she gives the device away to Interpol. Or at least she thinks it's Interpol. I'm not sure who it is. Now, the last issue is very strange, as it has nothing to do with Blythe. At least for now. It involves a couple of Aztecs and it takes place centuries ago. Because there are no more Aztecs. Are there Aztecs? I'm not entirely sure. If you're Aztecs, please write in. Aztecian? They must have got assimilated. Well, anyhow. One Aztec is the old man. He's the Ben Kenobi. And the other one's like the... I don't want to say Luke. Or Anakin. We'll go with Luke. And he's going to be his apprentice. It's hard to say. I'm not sure if it's sorcery, wizardry, hyperpraxery, or some combination of whatever. Whatever the case, they're able to see the future and know what's going to happen to their people, which is going to be extinct. But yet they have the device. But I'm not sure if there's more than one device, or if time even matters to the device. But they take that advice. Now, before I talk to you about the actual comic book, it's a rather strange, strange intro. I mean, intros, I know I've said this before, most are boring. Some are egotistical. Others are thankfully short. And a couple, if you're lucky, are funny. And a few are insightful. The intro by G? Wilson? Hello? The intro by her. That is weird, man. Yeah, it's like, you read it and you're like, when she's talking as if she actually met Blythe at an airport. And maybe she did, or maybe she's crazy. She's a writer. Then it turned out to be a dream, I guess. I don't know. I don't honestly have no idea why she added it. Let me see. Let me open it up. Does it explain why? I don't think it does. Oh, my mic's not moving. Yeah, I don't really know. I don't know. It'd be nice to ask her. I'm gonna go tweet her. Yeah, it's very weird. Okay. Now, the thing I liked about the actual comic book is that Amelia Earhart was in it. If you remember my review from the show where I covered the first trade and my former co-host decided not to read it because he's a cheapskate or he wants to buy shitty Batman books, I wasn't actually excited, enthusiastic about Air. I didn't think it was bad, but I didn't think it was great either. I thought it seemed very disconjointed at times. Is disconjointed a word? Because I keep, this red, every time I spell it in somewhere in Twitter and Microsoft Word, swear to God, I get a little red squiggly line. If it's not, I claim it trademark 2010. So yeah, the first book, I thought it was just, man, it was all right. It was actually the twist at the end that I was like, okay, I like Amelia Earhart. Even when Amelia Earhart was on Voyager, and Voyager was shitty, and that was pre-7 and 9, that was good. That was a good episode. Generally speaking, if Amelia Earhart is in something, it's good. It's kind of like Back to the Future. If a show makes a Back to the Future reference, it's a good episode. No, I'm serious. I go pay attention to that. Now, since flying machines is a continuation of that metaphysical shit, which was introduced in the first trade, which name I'm blanking on. Flying machines reads and flows a hell of a lot better. Maybe it's because I know where things are going now, and that I understand it. As much as I love Vertigo books, their one-word titles don't tell a hell of a lot about the series. Preacher, you're like, the Preacher, we'll just use my favorite two. Preacher and Lucifer. If you don't like religious shit, you're not going to read Preacher, right? Even though it's a Western. And if you don't like the devil stuff or you have preconceived misconceptions of Lucifer, you're not going to pick up Lucifer. And it's totally not like that. Air, I don't know what I think of Air. Flying? I thought it was about a book about a chick that could fly. Yeah, that'd be cool. Maybe, I know, I think there's a book like that though where some dude gets some powers and then they're able to fly. I thought it was like that. Air is not like that. It's deeper than that. Or maybe I thought Air had to do with being a flight attendant. It doesn't really, you know. Or stewardess. Whatever you want to call yourself. Now, normally, I don't like it when the writer, in anything, ties the main characters together and shows them that they have known each other in the past and didn't just meet in the beginning of the film or the episode or the series or whatever. But I liked it here. I felt that Zion? So I need some Muslim friends. Do I not have any Middle Eastern friends anymore? I might not. Anyway, I felt that Zane and Blythe, while I liked them as individual characters, their realism in the relationship seemed to be lacking. And to be honest, it seemed that Blythe was a quote-unquote psycho bitch and obsessed with the dude. And that he was a jackass wanker and kind of just leading her on. And I don't remember, did he sleep with her or did he just sleep with her? You know what I mean? Did he sleep with her? Quote-unquote. Did he sleep with her? No, actually reverse that. Whatever. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I'm going to start doing that to my friends just to be annoying. Oh, man, I'm a jackass. But since it turns out that Zion had met and remembered her, all that about her being a psycho bitch and him being like wishy-washy, it doesn't seem that way anymore. But I am curious, and I hope it's explained later, is that when Blythe was in Zion's body, how long did she quote-unquote live with him? I know she said 20 years, but does she now have 20 years of memory a la the last episode of Star Trek, All Good Things? You know, where Picard, you know, is leaving through time, and then Crusher scans him, and then she's like, oh my god, your brain grew or has more memories or whatever. I have that. I should watch it. Do I have that? Yeah, it's a Q episode. I got the Q fan collection. It's a great episode. You know what's not so good? The Voyager ones with Q. Except for the one. Oh, terrible. Speaking of which, next week is Borg. All Borgs on, well, my channel's Coffee when they air TNG, 11 p.m. I don't know when it's on in yours, but check it out. Okay, now, I forgot what I was talking about. Air. Air's a bit trippy. And it's hard to say exactly what it's about. I actually think the better title would have been The Air Up There. But then I would have thought of it, what's his name? The white dude with the big dong. Kevin Bacon. I'd have thought of Kevin Bacon. And then when he goes to Africa. And his name is Jimmy Dolan. And he's like, the Jimmy Dolan Chicken Bake. It's not a good basketball movie. What is that? It's entertaining. It's not as good. Oh, I was going to say it's not as good as Blue Chips. I love Blue Chips, but it's not a good basketball movie. I love it. I think it's great, but Mary McDowell, she still looks a bit fit all these years later. But that's not a good movie. It's not. Okay, never mind. Enough of that. Now, the front blurb, I'm looking at it. USA Weekend. A favorite for anybody who likes Lost or conspiracy theories. I like conspiracy theories. I think USA Weekend is out of their mind because Lost is shit. I'm sorry, people. If you like it, kudos for you. I like a lot of bad stuff. I've been watching Jersey Shore lately. Nah, I mean, those people are hilarious. It's not an Italian thing. It's like a... Because they had Megan the Band and black people. And pretty much you get any group of people, blacks, Italians, Chinese, Japanese, fucking Middle East, Indians. I don't know. Anyone. Any group of people. Religious, old, white, don't matter. And then you get the most stereotypical people because it's a reality show. And then you put them in a house where they're all cramped and the camera's following them. Shit will play out like fucking 9 out of 10 times and it will all be hilarious. You'll just be like, oh my god, what is I saying? I say no. That show is, I'm like a couple of months late, but I finally got to watch it. I love The Situation, but this is not the Jersey Shore wrap up 2 months after it aired. So yeah, they compared it to Lost is crap. As much as I didn't care for the first trade, I remember watching, not the first episode of Lost, because I was watching Smallville at that time, and it was before everything was on the internet, and before DVR, TiVo, so I kind of missed it, and they were on the same time, and Smallville now is crap. When I saw the second and third episode of Lost, I was like, I don't get it. Air is not like that. It's not like, I don't get it. I mean, you kind of want to know where it's going, but Air makes more sense than a smoke monster, flash forwards, time traveling, and some weird initiative. I don't know how I know all this. I hear it on podcasts. I'm starting to have to skip CGS podcasts when they go, last episodes. I don't care anymore. You do one spinoff, I'll listen to it. Those 2 hours long, but Jesus Christ. Even the Geek Box, I'll listen to it. It's like 15 minutes. Like, oh, whatever, dude. I don't care. Okay. Now, I believe air, in the core of things. If you can explain to me what the core of Lost is, I might watch it. Or if I had a friend who watched it and had the seasons, I would probably borrow it. But I don't have any friends that watch it. I have former friends that watch it, but he's no longer a friend of mine. I have acquaintances that watch it, but they're not really friends. So, Air at the core, I believe, is a love story, and it deals with one's identity. It is very vague in general. But at the core of things, all themes are very vague in general. Now, Willow, I just thought of the movie. I had a little flashback. Willow, okay. Willow, she does a damn good job of drawing out the suspense between Zane. See, now I'm thinking of Billy Zane. That's not right. Zane. This is the bad thing about reading. Like, I'm reading the Prince of Nothing trilogy. That dude has got totally unpronounceable things, but it's like you don't know how you pronounce shit. Even when I was reading Good Kind Shitty Sword of Truth near the series, I was like, how do you pronounce, is it Colin? It's kind of spelled that way. And then you watch the TV show Kalen, or you go to his website. No, it's pronounced Kalen, I think. They're like, why did you spell it Colin? Yeah, so you need to hear stuff. Downside about print. Can't hear anything. Okay. Yeah, she does a good job of drawing out the suspense between them, and you wonder. You know they're going to be together, right? It's like Friends with Ross and Rachel. You know they're going to hook up eventually. I don't think they hooked up in the first trade. But until then, you're like, come on, kiss her already, or come on, kiss him already. Although it might be like shows where, I hope it's not, but it might be like shows where the characters hook up, i.e. Office, or i.e. Monica and Chandler, and then the series goes to shit. You're like, oh, because you lose that. You lose that plot line, and then even though up to it was predictable, it happening was predictable, and everything else post is predictable, but you're still like, I don't know. This goes downhill. I can't explain why. Now, in Flying Machines, I was completely on board with everything. Up until the end. Now, I know I gave USA Weekend. I don't even know what USA Weekend is. Trade publication? They said it was like Lost. I gave them shit for that. But at the end, I didn't get it. It wasn't that there was a cliffhanger at the end of the first trade by showing Earhart. And it had little to do with the device either. It's the problem I found with the last part. Is that it? What threw me was the tone of the book is just completely different. Now, I know the last issue, well, I'm just guessing. The last issue is probably a bridge issue and will tie everything together and make more sense until the next trade. But until that trade comes out and I read it, it doesn't feel that way. I do wish there was a third trade out now because I would have just threw that shit. I'm not, what happens next? I actually think Obi-Wan, I don't even know if they have names, but I actually think Obi-Wan and Luke are going to the future and then meet Blythe somewhere, somehow. I could be wrong, but that's pretty standard writing technique thing. I really do. That's where I think they're going. They're waiting for the one who is Blythe. I'm just pulling it out of my ass. I could be wrong. No, I don't want to play this game again. I played this game with my friend a couple weeks ago. Give him like a billion ideas and shit. I was like, this could happen, or this could happen, or this. Yeah, I was like, whatever. Now, what the last issue did give me to notice, or what it performed very well, was the art. You know what I mean? The art was spectacular. It's good. The art in the entire fucking story is good so far. But for whatever reason, the art in the last issue was way better than the rest of the art in the trade. It looked way more detailed and realistic than the other stuff. And I'm hoping the next trade is the same with as good a MK Perker, the mysterious MK Perker. I don't think it's a girl, but you go, girl. Or you go, dude. Nah, I mean. Yeah. One could only hope. Dude's gotten way better from Cairo to last issue of this second trade. So, that's all I got for air. And my final score for this one, for the Mark Critic score, is... Drum roll, please. That's Knight Rider, right? It's 4 out of 5. 4 out of 5. I want to give it a 4.5, but as great as the art was in the last issue, I didn't get it. So much for that. Thanks for listening, everybody. Buddy. As always, I appreciate it if you left me some feedback on iTunes, and I may have a guest host soon, and an interview soon. I don't want to jinx myself, but apparently I just did. So, next week's pick will be Human Target. Questions, comments, suggestions, email me at vertigocast@gmail.com or leave them on the comicforums.com. See what's coming up. There's the website at vforvertigo.blogspot.com. Follow me on Twitter at Hellsfire. And remember, have a great Valentine's Day, and I hope mine goes okay, but I'm nervous. Put a gun in my face, threaten me, beat me up, whatever, blah blah blah. I have ice water in my veins. When it comes to the opposite sex, woo, I'm scared. But hopefully it'll go well, and I hope it goes well for you people. Because for the coward, there is no life. And for the hero, there is no death. You know what I mean?
And like that, he's gone.